because I'm going to say it again, I've been a massive fan of what you guys have done for a really long time.
Thank you.
And it's been, for me, it was Red Hook Crit time. And it was the kit that had the massive logo down the back. And it just looked really, really cool. It was really cool.
And thank you. Stood
out and the question, first question I have is the name. Is it Concept or CN? How do you like it pronounced?
Concept.
Thank God.
Yeah.
otherwise, you're like CNCPT. I don't know. Do you know
we get that all the time. Someone's like, hey, you misspelled your team name on the back of your jersey because it doesn't have the T on the end. Yeah. And we're like, we did it on purpose. It's a little confusing, but we like it that way.
You should just say you're dyslexic. That's my get out in these situations.
Yeah.
And I use it all the time. It's the perfect way to kind of get anyone.
It really is. They're like, I'm sorry. You're like, it's fine. Conversation over.
Yeah. And as I was saying, for me, I think the first time I heard of you guys was probably around Red Hook Crit time. In fact, it would have been the last Red Hook Crit Barcelona was when I first heard about you and saw it in person, was Red Hook Crit Barcelona, whenever the last one was, because I went out there just to have a holiday.
I think that was 2017 or 16. Might have been 17. Yeah, that's probably the last one, because that was the only one I did in Barcelona. First time in Barcelona. Great time. Hardest race. Hardest ride to crit. Easily. So hard.
It's such a good city, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That was, like, the best part of it. You know, it made up for everything. Like, it was basically, like, wake up every day, go to the beach, and, like, that's it. And yeah. I was like, can we just come back and, like, maybe race bikes and just hang out at the beach with everybody?
For me, Barcelona, when I studied, and my housemate, he was a very Spanish, and he's a massive Barcelona fan, but lived in Valencia. And we used to go to Barcelona a couple of times a year. I don't follow football at all. I don't get it. I'm not a fan. But I used to go. I'm just like, it's a load of guys kicking the ball around. Doesn't really interest me. But I used to go out there at least once or twice a year with him because he wanted to go to a game. And I'd just go and look around the city because it's such a cool city. It's just a really good vibe about it. And
yeah,
I mean, it's never particularly bad weather. I have been there when it rains, but the weather's never bad. It's never particularly cold. The beach is amazing. And the architecture is incredible. Like,
yeah, I mean, I was going to say, when I went there, it reminded me so much of California and, like, Los Angeles, like, weather-wise, you know? I was like, man, like, it just feels kind of like home. Like, it's always kind of sunny and warm. You know, it was here. It was, like, 90 degrees. It was, like, 85, 90 yesterday in January, which is, like, I don't know. It's maybe, like, 30 centigrade. Yeah. And it was, like, we were out, and I was, like, man, I shouldn't have wore base layer. And I know I'm bragging because it's probably very cold and wet where you are right now.
Hey, it's not wet today. It's not
okay,
wet. It's
okay. Cold. but the weather reminds me of home a lot for sure.
Yeah, we've got at the moment here. Actually, I mean, the last couple of days are quite nice. Today's been really bright, like a good winter day. Like, it's been really bright, but I think it was about 7 degrees. So I don't know what that translates to Fahrenheit, but yeah, about 7 here. But the last week we've been in London. So I'm central London in Shoreditch, and it's been below zero.
Oh man.
For a week, basically. And rainy. So it's been horrible. We had some snow in London, which that doesn't happen very often. Not where I am, but south of the river, there was some snow.
That's happening a lot. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, the UK's, you go north, it's covered, absolutely covered at the moment. But so I'm ridiculously envious of warmth and sun and your rides that you're doing at the moment, which just look so amazing.
Yeah, just blessed with weather. I think that's why I think, you know, everyone's been having encounters seeing Chris Froome out here and like a bunch of the other, like we saw some Ineos riders yesterday on our ride. And I think it's just because so many people come here for that reason, right? I mean, the riding is excellent and the weather is just good. And, you know, again, bragging, but it just, I don't know. That's not why I moved here, but it just turned out that way.
I'm very jealous. Jealous. I've never been to California.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. You definitely need to, there's a lot to do and a lot to see, you know, and like every kind of riding, which is excellent.
Yeah. It's been on my list for a long time. And yeah,
I've never been to the UK. So
you've never been here. You're not missing out, to be honest with you. I mean, the UK, the riding in London is shit. It's terrible.
Fair.
It's really busy. The roads, it's just not a city designed for cycling. They're trying to make it better there's been this like massive push to increase the cycle lanes in London, actually separated cycle lanes. So they've got like a bollard that protects cyclists, but it's just shit for riding. The only real places you have to ride that are kind of half safe are the parks, and the parks are still used as like rat runs for taxis and stuff like that. So they're still really busy. But if you get out of London, you go to Wales, for example, or one of the national parks, so Lake District, Peak District, Pennines, incredible. Really cool.
Figured as much.
Yeah.
just park riding. Like, I spent some time in like New York City and it was the same deal. Like ride the parks or you get out of the city kind of far. And then like, then it just opens up a whole new world and you're like, whoa, this is like really, really cool. But like, you know, during the week when you're trying to get out, you're like go do some laps and you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do this forever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can see behind me, but there's like a large amount of boxes here. I always bring it up because I'm at the moment going through the process of moving out of London. So,
oh, cool. Where are you going?
Peak District, which is about 2 to 3 hour drive north of London. It's a national park. It's very central in the whole UK.
Awesome.
Basically moving to the border of the Peak District, kind of close to Manchester. So it's a big change. I've lived in London for 12 years, which is a massive change. But the main reasons was space, quite frankly, indoor space, outdoor space. You can get a lot more for your money as in the home, and you can get a lot more time, like outdoor space, like being in the national parks, and got friends that live there. Got family that are very close. And it's also very close for me to then get to family that are not, they're kind of all over the place. So I've got family that are north, family that are south, and it's like really central to everyone. So it works out quite well.
I mean, yeah, that's like the thing about like the city, right? You're like there for so long. You're like, I love it here. And you're like, oh man, I could go like 2 hours to the east. Like for us here, it's like going east, you know, out of Los Angeles. And you're like, man, there's just so much, like you said, like so much more like riding, like more space for, you know, rent's cheaper, obviously. So we think about that pretty often here too, but we've been here for like 3 years maybe in this apartment. So we're pretty into it for the time being. We haven't like grown out of it yet, but yeah, we have not that much space, me and my partner here. So we think about it a lot. I'm sure everybody does. You know, you're like, man, I need more space. I'm getting a little older. I would like to have a yard.
Yeah. Oh, yep. 100%. No outdoor space. I'm in a one bedroom flat. I mean, there's a park opposite, but no outdoor space. And it's like, I like to think the park is my garden and that I let people use it, but it's not at all, you know.
Fair.
And I mean, over here anyway, like COVID has forced a lot of people in the UK living in cities to move out of cities. It's been crazy.
Same here. Yeah.
It's really noticeable. And we're finding, I didn't expect it quite as extreme as it was, but I think about 7 or 8 of my mates have moved out of London just because they're like, I don't need to be here for work. And we're learning that you can work remotely so easily now. Like, why would you stay in a smaller accommodation when you're working? Like for me, for example, my desk is in my living room and my kitchen, basically. So it's like,
same.
You've got no separation from it and it's hard to switch off in that way. So
sure.
Part of the plan of moving out is having a separate room for my bikes and training stuff. and in an office space, and then the rest of it's a house. You know?
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, same here. Like, you know, the first like 2 or 3 months of it, like you just, you saw so much like furniture on the street, first of all. And I was like, okay, people are moving. Yeah. And just a bunch of for rent signs. But yeah, same idea. Like people were like, people come to Los Angeles to do like, you know, partying and, you know, trying to be actors and musicians and all this kind of stuff. Cause you know, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
And if you can't do any of that and you're just here paying a crazy rent, like why, what's the point? You know, if you can't come here to socialize or do all the things you came to Los Angeles to do, like there's not much you can do when you're supposed to just stay home. So, I mean, our neighbors that lived like right in front of us, like the guys are like, yeah, there's no reason for me to be here. And they were not, they weren't here for more than a year and they just like left right away as soon as the COVID hit. So
not surprising. I mean, you guys aren't, you're not in this like a particularly strict lockdown or anything, are you?
No, it kind of never really was.
Yeah.
In a sense. I mean, I think it's kind of the same as it was before, but I think the main difference was in the beginning, there was more of like a big fear, right? So like everyone was like, the streets were empty, no one was driving, which made riding great. Like you can still go outside and exercise by yourself. And as like, you know, then the summer came and, you know, cases like kind of stayed the same and nothing really changed. And then we were, you know, restaurants were allowed to serve people, yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it just, everything just hit in the winter, right? As predicted, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're back in the lockdown. And everyone's like, what do you mean? Weren't we in one this whole time? And so it's like confusing and counties were handling it differently. So here, like you can drive like 30 minutes and you can sit inside a restaurant, but you can't in Los Angeles County. And like, so it's like, you can just drive somewhere and like do different things. So it's super confusing based on how they're handling it. And in that ordinance, it's not like the state says you can't do this. It's yeah, like this, it goes by city and then by county. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like,
it's hard, such a hard thing to understand.
And I get it. Yeah. Like yeah, no one knows. Right. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's kind of like, can you do your own precautions? Try to stay as safe as you can. So,
yeah. I mean, so in the UK, we are in a full lockdown, like national lockdown across
yeah,
England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, basically. But so we started off having this like phased lockdown, which came in like, October time, where it would be regional. So certain regions would be in a stricter lockdown than others. And it kind of worked, but people would just travel to different regions still and weren't that strict yeah, in it. And then it got to it was before Christmas. They pretty much put the majority of the UK into a full lockdown. And then the week after Christmas, it was the whole UK was in lockdown, and it's been they're talking that's not going to be changed, I don't think, until mid-February. But a lot of people are under the mindset of March, really.
Yeah,
which is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I figured like I was working in an office, and like most people, right? And they thought the idea of remote work was like a joke, because yeah, they're like 100-something-year-old company. It's an electrical utility. And now they're like, oh, this is kind of great. No one's going back until like July. Like that's our projected wow, return.
Really?
Which I think is a lot of people. I'm hearing like a lot of big tech companies said July. Now they're all saying September. Ours might get pushed back just based on they made this projection like in September. And now like obviously things got exponentially worse, especially here in Los Angeles. So that might be get pushed again. So wow, we'll see what the deal with that is. But yeah, it's like it doesn't seem to have any, I mean, you know, I'm can you exercise outside, can you go outside, like I don't know how it is for you guys.
It's you're allowed to, but it's kind you have so that it's not very clear. So you're allowed
yeah,
to. The rules are that you're allowed to exercise. You're allowed outside once a day, and that can be to exercise or to go to the shops, basically to buy food and stuff. And but how they've explained the exercising thing is that you have to stay within a localized part of where you live. So the problem is if you're cycling, what do you class as local? Do you class like 7 miles, 10 miles, 30 miles? I say 7 miles specifically because old Boris Johnson got a bollocking in the press for riding 7 miles across London. It's just like, I remember seeing it and I was like, I'm not his fan. I don't like him, but like he's gone for a bike ride. He's trying to push people to be fit and healthy. He's gone for a bike ride. He's ridden across London for 7 miles and people are just like losing their shit about it. And I was like, I don't like the guy, but I'm like, fucking hell, like, come on. He's getting a bit harsh with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of tricky. So you're allowed to rock, you're allowed to go out and ride and exercise, but we're advised that it has to be local. But as I say, there's no description of what local is. We don't know what local is. And British Cycling and like the UK cycling like bodies have all asked the government to provide a description of what they're classing as local. Nothing's come yet. That's been a couple of weeks now. I mean, my stance on it is because of where I am so central is just to, I'm quite happy sitting on a turbo trainer. I did 3 hours this morning and I was just like,
yeah,
you know, I can kind of deal with it because if I go out and ride to get to any good roads, I've got to ride for an hour anyway. Otherwise I'm just going to the parks and the parks are so busy with people at the moment. So I'm a bit like, it doesn't feel right going to the parks. So it's like, it's this weird juggling act all the time, really, to be honest with you. And then the next problem that comes up is to get to good roads to ride, I've got to ride out of London for an hour, which means I'm then going into another county, which I'm not allowed to do. So, yeah. It's so confusing. It's really confusing. But it is what it is. I mean, the other thing is you're only supposed to ride with, they call it otherwise, your support bubble, which is like who you're cohabiting with. Or your support bubble can also be like if you're a single person and you can be in a support bubble with a family, for example, so that you don't spend time on your own. So you can exercise with that support bubble and go out with that support bubble, but you can also go out with one other person, like as just the two of you. So it's just really confusing. But,
yeah. Oh man. Yeah. It's like the same here. Actually, I just thought about this. Now. I think our local was like a range of 120 miles. They're like, don't go further than 120 miles. And LA County's huge, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm kind of in the middle and like, if you go, like, you know, north, it's only like 60 miles and east, it's another like 60. So like you can basically cover most of the county, but like that's a huge range that you're like allowed to travel.
Yeah, so crazy. The bit that's come in that came in the news over the weekend that I couldn't stop laughing at was there's been two. So the police are fining people if they see people that are like driving to places and it looks a bit suspect.
Yeah. So
two that came out in the news and both of them were people that had driven like 100 miles or something and they'd said they got driven to go to a McDonald's. And I was just like, like that's a naff, absolutely naff like reasoning to say, oh, I've just driven. So one of them drove from like London to like Bristol or something to go to a McDonald's. And I was just thinking, well, there's fucking loads of McDonald's in London. Wherever,
wanted to go for a drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Had the day.
it's just like a bit, it's one of those things where you just think, yeah, okay, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, there's been a few little stories like that have come out. The other thing was two women who drove to a park to go for a walk. And they were like, you shouldn't be driving to a park to go for a walk. You should just be go for a walk where you live. So there's like all different police forces and counties. It's the same thing. It's got different rules all over the place. But it is what it is, you know, vaccines coming in.
We're all dealing with it. So it's just different for every location, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the UK, we've got three approved vaccines. They bought shit tons of it. So they've made a real effort to try and get that out as much as possible with I think the intention is to have a larger portion of the population with at least the first vaccine by the start of next year. So
awesome.
That's really, really good.
But
yeah, I mean, anyway, COVID is bullshit. It'll get better. That's basically what sums it up, isn't it?
Sure. So
you guys with Concept. So did it all really kind of start as more as a fixed gear kind of team?
It kind of started as a sense where, you know, here in Southern California, there's a lot of teams. There's a rich history of a lot of like criterium racing mostly. Yeah. Not a lot of road racing here, just a lot of crits, a lot of industrial parks, like business park situation style racing. Mm-hmm. And it mostly just started with a bunch of us where we're on clubs and we just kind of didn't feel the vibe of like, it was a team for us. Like everyone just wore the same thing, but like didn't hang out, didn't like, you know, go get lunch after a race or a training ride. Everyone's just like, cool, see you later. And then you're like, why am I even wearing this kit and paying these dues if like there's no like camaraderie or like bond? And yeah. Bobby Endo, who owns Endo Customs, and he designs all the clothes and he makes all the clothing, and Alonzo Tal, who's on the team and he's also like one of the creatives and photographers for the team, they kind of got together and were like, man, we would really love to like do this thing start a team that we can kind of like, you know, make our own clothing and look a certain way and like kind of vibe. And that's where Justin came in. And, you know, he was like, you know, he's just obviously knows a lot of people and does a lot of it. He's a great bike racer. So he kind of came in to like direct the racing aspect of it. And we just got a bunch of guys that wanted to race bikes and feel like they can have a home somewhere. And primarily it was just a lot of crit racing. That's kind of all we did. And all of us came from fixed gear racing. And then we started racing road, and that's kind of another reason why I feel like we didn't really fit in with the road scene here.
Yeah.
And it just all came to a T. And one year we came out and had kits that no one had seen before. And, you know, we were a very like diverse group of dudes, and we came to races and we, you know, we just had a vibe, and everyone was like, man, like that tent over there looks like those dudes are having fun, you know, as opposed to like, you go to a bike race and you sit in your car and then you race and then you just get back in your car and you go home. Like, you know, we would be there like after the races were over, we would just be hanging out, like chopping it up and having a good time. And that kind of like, you know, made people be like, who are those dudes? Like we've never seen them before. And they look wild.
Yeah.
And it just evolved from there. Like, you know, we started really simple with just black and white. And we, you know, the funny thing was the first year we bought all of our stuff. Like we were like, all right, we're all buying the same bike. We're all buying the same helmet.
Yeah.
And just to kind of make a statement to be like, dude, like, you know, this stuff isn't cheap. And like, if these brands aren't going to mess with us, like we'll just make them think, you know, that we did. And we bought all our, you know, we bought all our gear. We made a deck from one year. And then the next year they're like, hey, like we want to help you guys out now after we did all that stuff. So it was like, it was pretty neat the way we kind of got together and figured it all out.
It's really appreciated when people see hard work like that though, and see that you're all in it together going, you know, pushing forward for the same thing. And, you know, all of the Endo kit looks, the designs are fantastic. All of it is so good. It's just, I mean, it's bang up my like style. I look at it and I'm like, I would wear that. I would wear that. That, I would wear that. Every yeah. single thing. And it, like, because you guys were on like the Cannondales, weren't you?
Yeah, well? We were from kind of like we're going on year five. So the first year the only reason why we went that way was because we knew a guy that could get us like a pro deal on a bunch of bikes. So he's like, hey, if you order six of these, they'll be way cheaper. And we're like, I guess that's what we're doing. And we all bought the same bike just to like look uniform, you know, because we wanted to like make a deck that was going to like blow everyone out of the water. Like when we sent it out, they're going to be like, we want these guys. And we, you know, it obviously it started with that. And then the next year they decided to help us out. And we were with them for another 2 years after that. And so until year three, and we, you know, we were able to make a custom bike with them, track bike. And it was great. And, you know, we kind of decided to go in a new direction. Now we're with Cervelo for our second year. So,
yeah. And it's
great.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, from what I've, you know, you guys have been doing, it's been a lot of exploring on a fun, particularly fun bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Spero, yeah.
Which I'm looking to my side because mine is literally is to my side here.
Yeah. Mine's is right in front of me.
It's such a fun bike.
Like, it really is, yeah.
I did not quite... I'd ridden other gravel bikes, I have literally changed everything on my Aspero because I'm so pedantic with like bike parts and everything. And I, you know, I've done everything from riding it off road, taking it on mountain bike trails. I did a trenching challenge, so climbing and descent, basically an Everesting and a half on it. I did, I just use it as a general riding bike.
Yeah.
Like some 650B wheels on it with fucking huge tires. And it's like sitting on a sofa when you go for a bike ride now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I ride mine the same way. I have just two, I just have two wheel sets for it. Mm. And one is like, you know, a set of like Durace wheels with like, you know, 28 slicks on it. And the other one is like a set of, I have like a dyno setup for like bike touring and stuff. And I just have like net, like, you know, 40C nanos on there. And those are the two wheels that I do to do like essentially every kind of riding I do here. I'm just getting, I currently don't have a road bike, which is, never had one since I started cycling. and it's been almost a year with that one, but it's been like fine, you know, cause like I'm not racing anything. And yeah. This bike just kind of does everything that I've been doing anyway. And, my bike is just about to be done soon, but yeah, it's like, it's definitely been like the quiver killer for me for a lot of reasons. Like as soon as I loaded it up, I was just like, damn, this is like, I don't know if I need another whip now. Like this is pretty great. You know, I do want a fast, like twitchy road bike. Cause it's been a while.
Mm.
So I'm really looking forward to that, but it's held me over for the last year for sure.
Yeah. I think people, I've been thinking about it quite a lot, and it seems to be that for most people, a gravel bike is the bike that most people can do pretty much everything with.
Yeah.
Like, they're so versatile now. Like, I mean, and the Aspero, I think, doesn't really look like a gravel bike. It's quite a racy looking bike. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I've got an Aspero and I've got an R5 and an R3. And the R3 is the bike I rode across, well, up, down, and across the whole of the UK on it. So I hit 10,000 kilometers on it. Last week, and I've had it for less than a year, so
awesome. I've
done some distance. And then the R5, like the difference between the R3 and the R5 is the R5 is a bit more aggressive and it's lighter and it handles really nicely, but the R3 is like for like long distance stuff with a geometry on it's really, really good. But the Aspero is more aero than the R3.
Whoa, yeah, did not know that.
The framed tubing and everything is way more aero than the R3. Maybe not the R5, but definitely the R3.
Yeah, nice. I did not know that.
Yeah, and I heard a story about a guy who's been racing crits on an Aspero.
I could see that happening. I could see that, yeah.
Run it one by with a massive chainring on it. It'd be absolutely fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a versatile bike. And I've not tried the newest S5 yet. It's on my radar.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be launching something like that with that bike this year at some point. We're just waiting on a few things, but that's going to be our big push, which we're super excited for. So
when do you reckon that's roughly going to be?
I'm just going to say secret date.
Sometime this year.
Yeah, this year for sure.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, awesome. So what's the kind of plan for you guys this year as a team?
Well, you know, it's hard right now, obviously, because, you know, we don't know what is happening with bike racing but that's fine because I think we've always kind of figured ways to be creative and take on like special projects that don't really require the need to participate in a lot of like mass start events, right? We always kind of do some special projects with like just bike tours or just go to like certain events that are not bike related at all. Like one year we did Coachella and like we just hung out at Coachella and like, you know, goofed around and, you know, just things like that. And obviously, you know, we have some plans this year to do, we're going to do an FTK, which we've never done before. And it's going to be huge, but it's a ride that we've all done a couple of times. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's a ride that we've done several times in the past as a team, just because it's fun and it's long. It's like, you know, maybe like 400K or something like that.
Nice.
So we're going to do that this year. And that's kind of one of our big pushes. And myself personally, I'm going to be racing Atlas Mountain in October. And I just got into another one across Andes.
Oh, nice.
In Chile. So those are going to be my two big goals, and they're more towards the end of the year. But yeah, I mean, I'll like, you know, there's so many guys on the team that everyone's doing something a little different. What my dude, Sean Martin, he's going to be doing a guided tour in Alaska, 'cause that's where he's from. And I just went to Alaska for the first time, and, you know, he got to show us where he's from, where he grew up, and some of the riding that he did, like, you know, while he was there. And man, I was like blown away, mind blown. And I was only there for like a couple of days, and we only rode for 2 days, and I was like, man, this is incredible. So I would love to go back there and do some more riding out there, 'cause it was just like so, so good. But yeah, just like, we're just trying to figure out a way to like do some kind of small projects in the meantime, to, you know, until the return to normalcy and some bike racing. There's events happening in the summer, but we're registered for a few, but we'll see how that goes. You know, we're not entirely sure.
I think it's good that's been my attitude as well. It's like, my whole plan for this year is, apart from two races, is staying in the UK. And my take on it is like, I'll get some events in the diary just so it's things that I can think about. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And 9 times out of 10, most of the organizers they're more than happy to refund or defer it a year. And I was supposed to be, I got an entry for Atlas Mountains again, but I've deferred my entry until 2022 now, purely because it's really confusing. But basically, I entered to do the Trans-Pyrenees in 2020.
Awesome.
They cancelled that and moved it to 2021. And then Atlas Mountains was supposed to be February 2021. That's been moved to October 2021. Mm-hmm. And they literally start, I think, within 2 days of each other. And I was like, I've already put Atlas Mountain, Trans-Pyrenees back a year. So it's easier for me just to then do the same with Atlas Mountain. So Trans-Pyrenees 2021, Atlas Mountains again on 2022. But it's
awesome.
Morocco's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I'm really excited.
It's hard. It's fucking hard.
I bet. Yes, I imagine so.
Don't do what I did and crash and bend your frame.
Oof.
Yeah. So I went out there on a steel gravel bike and fucked it quite badly. I was in the like front group, and then I crashed quite badly, and basically, I had been dealing with a herniated disc just like for a couple of months before. And it kind of felt all right at the start of the race, but it was definitely not healed.
Yeah.
Advised not to do it. And I was like, nah, it'd be all right. It can't be that bad. It was. and so I basically just, I wiped out on a descent. It's quite, the thing with Morocco is the terrain is like, it'd be quite sandy on the surface and very rocky beneath. So it's super loose. And I just completely wiped out on one of the descents and jarred my back out again, to the point that I was like struggling to stand up, let alone be able to ride a bike properly. And I got to the third checkpoint, and I was like, the bike felt like shit. I'd run out of like lube. I was using olive oil to lube the chain and stuff. Bit of olive oil on the bread, a little bit for me.
It's happened, yeah.
Yeah, it does the job. Yeah. And I was looking at the bike and I was like, yeah, that looks pretty fucked. I was basically trying to get the wheel out and like just check the rear wheel was okay. And I was a bit like spaced out, as you would be, and just left the bike on the side, went and got a shower at the checkpoint. And another guy looked at the rear wheel and was like, you know, you've cracked it. And I was like, no. And I'd cracked it like going that way around the rim. So whatever I'd hit, I'd obviously hit it pretty hard. So I was like, okay, I've accepted, you know, I've cracked it. It's fucked. The real world's fucked. I've basically got to scratch the race because I can't really finish a race on this
wheel.
So I was like, anyone else here that's scratched, have you got a rear wheel that I can nick? And I'll just carry on riding it. I'm quite happy to ride it. Spaced out, painkillers in me, trying to like make sense and trying to make sure my back worked. So I got another rear wheel and tried to like get it into the frame, and I couldn't because the rear triangle was completely bent. And I was like, well, that kind of says it all for me. The bike's fucked. Yeah,
definitely I'm not fucked. Coming back from that one.
I'm fucked. The bike's fucked. So I had to scratch, unfortunately. So I've got a lot of gripe with that race and wanting to go back and finish it, especially because I got to the third checkpoint. I got so far.
But, yeah, for sure.
It was what it was.
It's
an amazing learning experience. I'd definitely say my biggest tip is the biggest tires you can fit on your bike.
That's what I've been hearing from a lot of people that, and you know, like that, I mean, the main person I've been talking to about is Chaz. And he said the same thing. He's like, I'm doing it on a mountain bike this year. And I was like, maybe I can make that happen too. So we'll wait on that. Hopefully we have more time. So I've been seriously thinking about it as well. Like I just did a little bike tour with my partner and we were out in just like riding these amazing mountain bike trails. And like, I pull up to the parking lot with like a fully loaded gravel bike and everyone's there like on like full sus, like mountain bikes. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I knew what I was getting myself into, and just like watching her be able to ride everything. I was just like, man, I want a mountain bike so bad. Like it was fine, you know, on my bike, but I was like, man. And like, just the way she loaded her bike down, I was like, there's so much more room. Like we had a tent. We were able to carry a tent just cause she had like, you know, like mountain bike bars. I was like, okay,
maybe yeah, I need that. My plan is for 2022 is a mountain bike.
Yeah.
Hardtail, some sort of hardtail bike, purely so that you can still get a frame bag in it.
That was my thoughts, exactly.
Yeah. And the biggest tires you can get on it. So I rode a gravel bike with Lauf forks last year. And the bike is a fantastic bike, but the big issue was tire clearance. The biggest tires that it would fit were like 35s.
Oh
yeah. So I felt everything.
Yeah.
And that with my back was just made it all worse. So my biggest thing for anyone that's thinking about doing it is just, if you haven't got a mountain bike, if you were riding on like a gravel bike or even a cross bike, whatever it is, literally the biggest tires you can fit on your bike. That's it.
Yeah. That's been the words of wisdom from every single thing I've heard or read.
Yeah. Yeah. And cause it is like, it's very bumpy. It's very, very bumpy. And compared to like Silk Road Mountain Race, which is maybe more technical, but the surfaces are smoother, I would say. You get a lot of washboarding in Kyrgyzstan, but you don't get so much like loose, kind of gravelly, stony stuff and not quite so rough. But I'd just be like, fuck it, biggest tires, mountain bike.
Literally. Yeah, it'll be like my first like you know, like big bikepacking race. And there's gonna be, I think, like a smaller one here in California, usually like June, May time, and that one's like, you know, 400 miles, something like that. So I'm probably hit that one up before just to get a little bit of
good idea.
See what it's like. But like, I mean, I've been doing just nothing but like bikepacking solo trips the last couple of weeks just because like there's nothing to do. And it's definitely been like a huge learning experience. And it's been great. So I'm excited to just like throw myself out there and just be like, I mean, that's usually how I've done every kind of cycling thing. I'm just like, man, like I can read everything I can about it. But it's like, until I just like, you know, pay the ticket and take the ride, like I'm not going to know what it's really like.
It's literally the best thing to do is just chop yourself in the deep end. And like, I've had like, loads of people ask me like, how do you start doing bike pack and stuff? And I was like,
just did it. Just did it.
I think the first thing I did was I rode to one of my mates and just camped in their garden. I was like, you know, and then after that, I think literally a couple of weeks after that, I rode from my flat in London to the Lake District, which is far. That's like some hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
And I did it all off-road and just rode there and then just camped out and then came back. This is just because I was like, it's literally one of the best trips I've ever done. Really enjoyed it. And that's you just have to like bite the bullet and accept it. And like, as long as you've got good kit, you're going to be fine. It's that simple, like.
Yeah, or like it might just suck for like a little bit. Yeah, like that's what I tell my partner, like, you know, when we went it was like going to be cold, and she's like, I'm freaking out about like how cold it's going to be. I was like, well, you know, it's going to be cold for like one night, and then we're going to go back to the car and it's going to be great. Yes. You know, like you can be cold for like a little bit, or like wet for like a little bit, I guess. But you know, like, it goes away.
Yeah, one night across, like, I always try and think of things in perspective. One night of 365 nights in a year is one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it'll suck for like a little while, but we all know that like there's like warmth coming, or like dry stuff coming. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, that's kind of how I like to see it.
Morocco was really cold early in the morning. The temperatures really does drop in the mountains anyway, but it warms up so quick. So it's actually, well, it did anyway in 2020. I think that October, the weather's quite similar to February anyway. So I'd imagine it's quite similar.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like here, it's like, it's really cold in the morning, and then by like midday, it's like 80, you know, it's wild. So yeah.
I'm so envious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we, I mean, that sounds like some really, really awesome targets for you. Really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, you know, for a little bit, they're talking about some Reddit crit rumors, and I was like, as terrified as I am to like jump in the ring again at that, I was just like, I was like, well, hopefully we'll see what's up with that. But it's been a long time. So I was hoping we can get the circuits back together and do some of that kind of racing again. But we'll see, maybe in the near future.
Do you reckon Red Hook Crit's ever going to happen again?
And maybe, I think so at some point, you know, or like some of the smaller ones, like Mission Crit or King of Track, some of these other people that are like kind of taking up the reins and you know, kind of taking their event to like the next level. I think a lot of them are already like gaining that status of like Reddit Crit. I think obviously that's like the world championship of the sport, but I think there's a lot of smaller events that are kind of like stepping their level up. You know, I went to go do King of Track in Korea maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And like that was like a great production. Like they're really trying to kind of like emulate that level, and it was a great time. Same with Mission Crit here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Same style, and like a lot of people come here and do that one the week before. It's always the week before Brooklyn. Yeah. So people come here, and especially if you're coming for far, they're like, might as well do two while we're out there. And like same feel, like you're like starting, you're like lining up, and there's like, you know, 1,000 plus people on the street in the Mission District in San Francisco, and you're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It just gives you the same feel. So we'll see what comes with it. I think they might be able to put something together this year, if not next year.
What about the rad race ones?
I have never done any of those. I have not. They look great, though. Yeah, they really do. Yeah. I had some buddies that did Last Man Standing maybe 2 years ago, and they just loved Germany in general. They said they had a great time. I've never done one. I would love to. It's been on my list for a long time, but now it's like, I don't know, like my kind of priorities have changed in terms of like what I want to do on the bike, you know? So like a lot of this more like just going out and getting lost is like a big one for me. Like it's so fun to just go to a city with like a track bike and like just like roam around and like do nothing. Cause like, you know, like it's easy, it's accessible. Your bike is like super simple and you can just do whatever. And I love those kind of trips because of the simplicity, but there is something about just going out and like getting lost, which is like really intriguing to me right now, especially when I'm home all the time.
Yeah. That exploration thing is definitely, I mean, for me, that's been such an appeal to cycling, and everything that I've specifically done has been, you know, that I've done some of the hardest like endurance races in the world. I've ridden across like Australia. Like I've done some pretty hard things in a bike, but a large portion of it has been driven by the opportunity to explore.
Yeah, same here. And you know, I would have never been to so many of the places that I've been to. I think the only reason why I really started traveling a lot was because there was like some kind of bike thing happening there, right? Like I've never been to the Europe until I went to do a bunch of Reddit crits. So, and that's like the main driver. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come back. Cause it's like, I don't know, something about just like someone setting a date for you and being like, hey, this is happening. You're like, yeah, I guess I'll just go on that. it just makes it easier, right? Instead of like you trying to figure out a plan, you're like, well, everyone's going to be there on this weekend, so I think I should go too.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much easier to like get yourself out there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Is I mean, for me, that I've never have I cycled. I have cycled in the US, but I've cycled. It's weird. So I had a friend who's a pilot and used to go to places with him, and you'd have like a stopover day, which was literally a day. And he cycles, I cycle, we take our bikes, go for a ride, and then come back. But it would mean, it meant like we did New York once and rode around New York, kind of is what it is, kind of cool to have done. And we
did, for sure.
And we did Atlanta, was the other one we went to. And that was interesting. He didn't do a lot of flying to America. He did more to like Asia and Hong Kong, Singapore, and all that. So did more that way. It's been on my radar to do like the Trans Am for so many years, because that's the perfect way to see America.
It really is. Yeah.
You're going to see the good and the bad, because you're going to bloody go through all of it pretty much.
Yes. I was going to say, yes. I've driven a lot of that stuff and you're like, interesting. Okay. Let's keep going. It's like a lot of like what they call like flyover states or drive, like, cause no one, they're like, there's no, but like, there's a lot of cool things like in some of those places. There's a big bike race, like basically in the middle of America, Tulsa Tough, and like, that, like, I mean, it's got a very crazy history, not so pretty there, but that, like, they put on a great event there. We actually drove there a couple of years ago, and we spent more time in the van than we actually did at the event, which is kind of brutal, but
yeah.
You
forget how big America, like,
yes.
I forget how big America is. I mean, you must forget how big it is as well.
I mean, we drove across Texas and that took us a day. Just that state alone. Yeah. It's wild. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, in contrast, like, I could leave my flat in the morning and be in Scotland in the evening.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much the UK done.
Yeah. I think about that all the time when talking to friends that are in other places are like, yeah, we can do this like bike tour and we'll go through like three countries in like, you know, a couple hours. And I'm just like what, like, you know, here we can like, I mean, which is for me, relatively, it's cool. Like you can go to Mexico pretty easily, which is awesome because, you know, the beaches and all the food and all the stuff to do is like maybe like an hour and a half drive. But that's like as close as it gets. Like the next thing is like Canada, and that's like a 15, 20 hour drive, you know? And so it's like, that's not going to happen. And like, not a lot of good trains, like public transit is not excellent by any means here. So if that was available, like, I think we would be able to do way more things, but it is what it is.
That's what I found with Australia, because on a map, Australia doesn't look that big, but have you seen they do them like the map of the world where it's true to scale?
I've seen some of it, but not very well.
So if you look for the true to map, like a true to map one with Australia, it's the size of the US.
I was about to think that, because I feel like I've seen, obviously seeing so many from here, like they're biased and they just make the US like enormous.
Yeah.
And everything else is small. But I believe that it's that big. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I did not know that though.
It's I rode from Perth to Melbourne with my mate, and we did it in 20 days. And that was pushing it. Like that was like we did it in 20 days and we had a day off every we had 3 days off in between it while we were doing it. And, you know, the problem was you have such a far distance to cover, and we were stopping in like roadhouses and motels every evening. But the problem was basically there's nothing between the roadhouses in the outback. So your distance is like controlled on that day by how far it is to the next roadhouse.
Yeah.
Which could be 200 miles. And it's just like, oh, that's what you got to do. So we did it like fully loaded, filmed it, photographed it all, rode across, rode through sandstorms and the desert, and saw numerous dead kangaroos. The kangaroos stink.
Any live ones?
More dead ones than live ones.
Oh, bummer.
But there was like, there was one day where we start, most days we were starting at like 7:30 in the morning, between 7 and 7:30. There's one day we started and I can't remember why, but the day just seemed to go on and on and we're riding into the night. And there was just at night, all the kangaroos come and sit on the road because it's warm. It holds the heat better than the rest of the outback, basically. And they don't give a fuck. They don't move. They literally just, and like we're flashing lights, like shouting at them, ringing bells, sirens, all this sort of stuff to try and get them to move. They just look at you like, oh, okay. Which explains why there's so much roadkill, which is kangaroos in Australia. Because like the trucks in Australia, they don't give a fuck. They just go straight through them.
Yeah. Wild. They're just trying to take a nap, be warned.
Yeah, they're just big kangaroos, aren't they? And yeah, we did that. And the bit that got really confusing with Australia was there's effectively, there's the time zones as you travel across Australia anyway. But there's, in the middle of Australia, there's these two time zones that don't correspond to the other time zones. And they're not like well-known time zones. They're basically time zones purely for the like towns in these area. And they're 45-minute differences. So it's like a really annoying difference of time. Yeah.
Especially if things close, you're like, wait, I thought it was going to be, I need food. It's been open.
Yep, that was one of the things that happened quite a lot. And yeah, you go through Western Australia time zone, Central Australia, then there's these two random time zones, and there's Victoria's time zone, basically. And then there's another one. And you go into these roadhouses and they've got like four clocks on the wall with all these different time zones. And we're always just like, which one are we in at the moment? And someone will tell us and we'll be like, okay, cool. But these these weird 45-minute ones, they don't, it's literally a time zone that only affects that town, which might be a town of 50 people.
Yeah, it's so strange.
It's so weird. But yeah, incredible experience. I'd love to go back and do more of Australia, but not so much of that section because it was fucking boring at points.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like the drive through, like a lot of the states here. It's like, it's literally so much of the same, like hours of the same, like landscape for a day or two, just like looked the same.
Yeah.
Like the same road.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know? And then you get to parts where you're like, "Whoa, we're like going up a mountain. We're at like 7,000 feet. Like this is really cool." And then it's like nothing for a long time again.
Australia's there was some of the days that, I mean, generally it was pretty flat, but we'd had quite a lot. We had headwinds almost every single day, which sucked. It was headwind or a sandstorm was pretty much the gist of the whole trip.
Yeah,
it was an unseasonable headwind. Normally, the wind direction is the opposite direction to the direction that we were going. We should have had a tailwind pushing us along. Very intentionally planned to go from west to east because of that. But for some reason, it was like a freak that it was going the other direction. One of the days that we planned, the route was basically flat and then dropped down. And it looked like such a massive drop and then was flat again. And that drop was like 20 meters because it was so flat the rest of the day.
You're looking forward to it all day. You're like, yes. And then it's nothing.
We literally like, oh, come on. We've got a descent today. It's the first descent in 10 days. It's been flat otherwise. We got to it and went down. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was it. And we both looked at like our Wahoos and we're like, oh, was that genuinely it? And we're like, yeah, that was literally it.
Yeah, same with Ram. Like, I think there's a reason why I think they go east to west. So it's like, isn't it like Florida to California or something like that? And like, same reason, I'm guessing.
Yeah, very. Yeah,
have a tailwind.
It's the same in the UK. If you do Land's End, the one of the famous rides in the UK is Land's End to John O'Groats, and it's because of the wind direction. Very few people do John O'Groats back south. It's shit.
Same here with like riding the coast all the way up to like Oregon. It's like no one goes north.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's like just don't do it. You know, just go south because you're gonna have a bad time if you go the other way.
Yeah. I've been there.
which like exactly a year ago, we did that on a big ride, which is really fun, from San Francisco to LA. That was exactly a year ago.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to do, I can't remember if I pre-warned you or not, towards the end of every podcast, I don't think I did pre-warn you.
No, it's okay.
And I don't like pre-warning people because it's better. I always ask for five, and it's five for a reason, life hacks or tips. And the reason why I do five is I got five digits on this hand, obviously. But the main reason is three is quite easy. The fourth one is normally pretty good. And the fifth one's normally fucking brilliant. But it could be anything. So, for example, there's been like cooking tips. There's been like one which was using a strawberry flavored lube to seal a tire.
Well, that was okay.
So yeah. There's like anything but five of them.
Oh, man. Okay. For one for me that I try to do and I struggle with, but I usually get it right, is waking up early is always worth it.
Yep.
For me. Another one that I try to remind myself is that, especially now that life happens outside of the internet.
It's very true.
Which is a hard one.
Yeah.
To remind myself. What else? Now that since we talked about a sealant, if you put glitter in it,
yeah,
it seals up, you know, things pretty well.
It's a good glitter, or I found it's like sand, but it's not sand. It also works really well, like that
yeah.
kind of grittiness.
Yeah, it works super great. Like I've saved so many tubulars that way.
Yeah,
save condiment packets for bike packing.
Yes,
that's a huge one. I just saved a bunch of little butter jams, so I have something to cook with.
When we were in Australia, every single roadhouse, I would pick up a handful of peanut butter sachets and a handful of jam sachets.
Yes,
and they were like little rocket fuel.
Yeah,
you know, a little bit of rocket fuel when you're just like when you're fucked.
Yeah, and then I think that's four.
That's four. Yeah.
I'm gonna say leftovers are always better than ride food, like gels. And that's kind of my, that's my big one right there. Definitely yeah. Don't like ride food. I love me like a sandwich though.
What would be your choice of a sandwich then?
Oh man. I'm a big fan of like peanut butter and jelly with like banana.
Yes.
Or like, just like, you know, like a cold cut jam with like some mustard and mayo.
Nice.
All the vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Something nice and filling.
Yes. Or like a big burrito as well.
You see, burritos, they're massive where you are. It's not not such a thing here. I was talking to someone else about it. Like, and the other thing is tacos. You can't get tacos in London, really. So I've been trying to understand taco culture to do good tacos, but it's
here
the best.
So cheap, like so many stands on the street, and it's like that's one of my favorite parts about living here. It's so good and it's so cheap, and they're out every single day.
Yeah,
it's like it's the best. Los Angeles street food.
Yeah, I could believe. I mean, in Shoreditch, the street food's pretty good.
Yeah,
but it's incredibly diverse, so it's quite often. I mean, for me, where Shoreditch has got quite a good like Turkish scene. Turkish food's really, really big here, and Indian food as well. So the curries and stuff you can get.
Oh, like, I can't imagine. I love me a good curry.
Brick Lane curries. Brick Lane's famous for curry houses. And you know, it's incredible curries there. But then also there's a big like Turkish part of East London as well. And like the meze food, falafel.
Ooh.
Oh, love falafel. Yeah. One of my oldest mates, he's Turkish. His mum, like when I used to go around there quite a lot when we were studying, because we used to study buddies, you know, obviously. And used to go around his mum would just cook this like monster platter of food.
Oh, man.
Everything under the sun Turkish. And make the hummus, homemade falafel that was like bright green inside because it was so fresh. That's dinner sorted in my mind, basically.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's almost breakfast time here. What do we have?
Turkish breakfast.
Yeah.
That's another, like a meal that she used to do was like peppers and like chopped tomatoes and loads of spices and paprika and herbs and everything in it. And basically on like a big, really, really hot pan and then crack an egg into it.
Oh man.
Really, really good.
I know. It's making me think about what I'm going to be eating during Atlas Mountain. Everyone says omelets, just like nonstop omelets, which sounds fun.
What you'll get everywhere is they have these like flatbreads that are like, they taste incredible, but they go stale very, very quickly. So buy them because they're cheap as shit. The omelets are always covered in, what spice are they covered in? They always have a spice in them. I can't think what it is now. Cumin, I think it is.
Ooh, good. Yeah. I like that.
And a lot of it as well. So it actually is really nice on the omelets. But every now and then you'll get to places where you'll get like, generally, to be honest, it's pretty much omelets everywhere. But you'll get to like a shop every now and then and you'll be able to, loads of people are eating like tin sardines.
Yeah, that's a thing that like, I've been on like a couple like bike trips and that's something my girlfriend loves it. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to like it because I know it's such a great food, like a superfood for this kind of stuff. It's like just so much protein.
Yeah.
But man.
You can get like, in like some of the like little shops and stuff, you could get like, you can quite often get like yogurts. And I bought like, like the cheese, like spreadable cheese that comes.
Oh, all day. Like, yeah.
Triangles. Yeah. One shop had a Spider-Man one. And it was like, I think it was like the equivalent of like £2. And I bought the whole reel, which is 16 triangles. And they were all Spider-Man ones. So I was having like a couple of them on one of these flatbreads, rolling it up, eating that. That was like ride food for a couple of days. It was just those Spider-Man cheeses and the fucking
bread. Awesome.
And because it was quite nice because it was savory as well. But then some of the sweet stuff, you could get really weird sweet things in like a lot of the shops. It's really easy to get like bottled water and like fizzy drinks and stuff. There was no real issue.
Awesome.
And there's also like the tea that they have there is like crazy sweet, like liquid sugar. And they
which is fun. That sounds great.
It tastes incredible. And it's a real like art to how you pour it. Like you really like lift the teapot up so the water like proper trickles down. It's actually quite elegant how everywhere that's how they pour it. It's like pouring this tea so it pours down into these tiny little glass cups. I believe the route this year goes to one of the places that you had to go to last year, which was it's like a waterfall. It's a beautiful little waterfall bit, but you have to walk, you literally are walking through a dried riverbed because it's unrideable. It's these massive like boulders in it and you have to walk through it. And there's a guy that guards the waterfall and he's like tripping out of his head. But if you want an omelet, he'll make you an omelet and you can have a cup of tea with him and sit there and relax for a while. It's really, really nice.
Awesome. Good note for sure.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but then you had to, ends up chilling there for a little bit and then walking. And then you basically have to walk up these stairs on the route. And it's quite a hike up the stairs with the bike on your shoulder. And then you've got this pretty nuts climb that's super, super steep at the bottom. And then kind of gets the gradient sort of levels out a bit as you get near the top. I was going up it as the sun was starting to go down, but it's the whole climb is tarmac. It's like the first tarmac bit of section you have on the ride. And the climb's pretty hard because it's super steep at the bottom, but flattens out. But as I was going down it, the sun was going down. It was incredible.
Awesome.
Really, that whole like experience of sitting by the waterfall.
I mean, that's like, those are the things that like, I feel like are going to stand out forever, right? It's like that tiny moment. And that's why, like, that's great.
Yeah. Omar, yeah. I think the guy was called Omar's Waterfall. And he's paid by the government to look after the waterfall.
Like, make sure like you don't jump in it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, the water's like incredibly fresh. You can drink the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, the note of Omar, I will let you enjoy the rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best in Morocco.
Thank you.
You guys at Concept, all the best with everything this year. If you don't follow Concept, follow, because it's super cool. Like, that's all I can say. It's really cool. It's like, can you just make more kit? Because it all sells out so quick.
It really does. And maybe it's on purpose. We'll never tell.
There's only ever four of them.
No one knows. Were they even on sale?
No one knows.
But yeah, man, good luck with everything. I hope to one day actually get to ride bikes with you at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll make it happen at some point. Don't come here because the weather's shit. I'll come.
You could come here. We'll have a good time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I'll
enjoy.
You.